That was item number 14. So we can move to item 15. And Chris Rose is going to present the TMDL work plan results.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just here to answer any questions that board members might have.
Okay. So what are the highlights, though?
The highlights?
Anything of...
Well, we just finished up a fiscal year, as everybody knows. And if you go to, excuse me, if you go to page one, bullets 1 through 8 essentially summarizes the TMDLs that we got approved last fiscal year, fiscal year 10-11. And so we have like 83 impairments that were addressed through 8 different TMDLs that were approved last fiscal year. And we used various adoption methods, one of them being a basin plan amendment, certification by the executive officer, and then resolution by this board that an existing regulatory mechanism is implementing the TMDL. And we're going to be doing more of the same next year. And so that's what we have for TMDLs last year and then this coming year. And then if you were look at the last three pages, pages 6 through, well, I'm sorry, starting on page 6, then I provided a table of all the TMDLs that we've adopted or are currently working on. And this was basically in response to Dr. Hunter's request a few years ago that we provide this information. So there is a summary of all the TMDLs that we have approved and that are pending.
So how many have we approved in total over all these years?
I believe 30.
30.
31. 30 or 31.
And how many remain to be approved, you know, developed?
Right.
Implemented.
Well, it depends on what we call a TMDL project. We have about 700 pollutant water body combinations. So a single water body can have impairments for pesticides, for nutrients, for sediment, and so on. And each one of those impairments counts as one impairment. So if we have watershed X, and in that watershed X we have 50 impairments, then we would typically spark up a project. We would develop a TMDL project that addresses all the impairments in that water body. So we have 700 pollutant water body combinations, and then how that all dices out into how many projects we would have would depend on how we would divvy out those impairments for each TMDL project. So, for example, the Salinas diazon and chlorpyrifos TMDL that this board approved last fiscal year, that was 35 impairments in one watershed. So how many TMDLs do we have to go? It depends on how we actually divvy those impairments out into a TMDL project.
Question,
Dr.
Wolf.
Yes.
Where does the legacy pesticide like DDT fits in, you know, the big picture of this program?
Right. Well, that's a very good question. So what Dr. Wolf is referring to is the legacy pesticides. These are pesticides that are no longer in use, but yet they persist in the environment and in some cases for decades. So one of the projects that we have on our work plan for next year is the Santa Maria Watershed TMDL. And in that Santa Maria Watershed TMDL, we've divided that TMDL essentially into 4 different modules. One of those modules is the pesticide module. And in that pesticide module, we are handling not only the pesticides that are currently in use, but also the legacy pesticides. So we are handling them on a case-by-case basis as we do a TMDL project with the pesticides when we have the data. Part of the trick is, do we have data? Some of the data that prompted these listings, the data is sparse. the data is sparse. So typically what we would need is we would need not only the legacy pesticide data, but it would really help to have the sediment data as well. And often that is what is lacking, is the corresponding sediment data.
Okay. Dr. Hunter.
What can be done about legacy pesticides since they're no longer in use? Some, or at least DDT would fall into that category.
Yeah, right. So that's a great question, Dr. Hunter. So most of the legacy pesticides, they're legacy. They're sticking around because they adsorb the sediment. And so what we have to do is we have to hold back sediment. We have to hold back sediment in order to keep the legacy pesticides from moving through the system. That's really where we have to go with that.
So we're talking about erosion and creek management and...
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Okay. So we're talking about erosion, we're sedimentation, turbidity, and so on, because those legacy pesticides are hitching a ride with that sediment, so we have to hold that sediment on site. That is why the sediment retention best management practices that we're advocating in the various programs, whether it be stormwater program and the irrigated agricultural program, they're so vital, because they will hold back those legacy pesticides and keep them on site.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. But that's not always the case, because for years you had mosquito abatement agencies spraying all the waterways, I know in Salinas Valley, with DDT for years. So it's not only sediment control, but how do you control the sediment within those water bodies themselves, like the Salinas River,
yes,
all the tributaries to those. It's there.
Point taken. Yeah, you are right. There is sediment in the system itself, in the channel itself, that has legacy pesticides.
Absolutely.
You bet. Yeah.
So
true.
You know, I don't want people to think that it's all related to agriculture, because we used some of those, especially DDT, for control of mosquitoes for 30, 40 years.
You're right, yes. What we're finding, with the data that we have, what we're finding is that the legacy pesticides are pretty widespread, and not just, I didn't mean to indicate that it's just in the ag areas, but also in the urbanized areas as well.
Oh, urban control, yeah, that was used.
Yeah, you bet. So it's very, very well dispersed in the watershed across land uses.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.